Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the HIV Podcast. Each week, we focus on a person, historical event, or pop culture moment linked to HIV and explore the story of what actually happened. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jess. And between us, we've been working in the field of HIV for 40 years. Our aim is to get as many people as possible HIV educated.
Welcome to the HIV Podcast, Sarah, for the ninth time this morning.
You're right.
Yeah, we should probably explain. We've had some microphone issues, haven't we?
You have.
Yeah, that's true. I like how Sarah completely distancing herself from any problem there. It is just my microphone, sadly. So we'll start by saying if I sound a little tinny, we do apologise, but my microphone seems to have broken. So we're having to improvise as we can. So the sound won't always be this way. So please do, you know, stick with us. We haven't gone backwards in time.
No, and I do feel, as I just said to you before we started recording, that your microphone is on one, isn't it?
It's completely
because for
online.
Weeks it wanted you to be really close to it, and now it's like, no, back off.
Yeah. Anyway, it's National Sex Day.
What does that mean? I've not heard of it before.
So I have pulled this from the internet, so these aren't my words. So National Sex Day is on the 9th of June and is dedicated to the joys of having sexual relations, engaging in pleasurable activities and exploring each other's bodies. There is a lot more to it than just getting physical. It's about connecting with someone and creating and enjoying this otherworldly experience.
What do they mean, otherworldly?
I don't know. I think they just mean sex, where, you know, maybe it takes you to heaven.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, as I said, I found that on the internet, but it is National Sex Day. I was going to say, I don't know why it cringes me out so badly, but it makes me feel really like a bit, when people are like, let's explore each other's bodies. I just do not enjoy that sentence at all. Like, no, thank you.
Oh, wow. Okay, so basically, so it's not about having sex.
No.
Night. Well,
you can do whatever you want, I suppose. You could mark it by having sex, couldn't you? I think maybe it's just about considering your sex life. And that can be your sex life with yourself, can't it? It can be masturbation.
Oh, you're right, yes.
So there we go.
Excellent. Well, I shall consider it after this episode.
I was going to say, what are you going to do to mark it? You're just going to think about sex today.
Yes.
All your sexy dreams with Anton Deck. Perfect.
I won't be considering those.
Well, in other news, I went away to have a look to see if Papua New Guinea was on our list of countries, Sarah, that listened to us. We had a big debate last week, didn't we? Paraguay, Papua New Guinea. It was all confusing. If you don't remember or you don't know what we're talking about, go back and have a listen to Gina 2's episode. Anyhow, Papua New Guinea is on the list.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. So Paraguay and Papua New Guinea. And also, we've now gone up to 168 listeners. God, that'd be depressing. We've only got 168 listeners. We've gone up to 168 countries that listen from 167.
So we've got a new country.
A brand new one. So hello, whichever country you are, because it doesn't actually tell me which is the new country. I just can get a list of all of them, because it just, the our analytics software doesn't really work like that. So
my money's on Peru.
Do you reckon?
All the peas.
Oh, I see. Not just because you got confused again. Peru's been on there for a while.
Has it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, well, I want to know what country it is now.
Well, I'll try and have a look. I might be able to go back sort of last month and then look at all the countries and then see which one's been added in. So look at you making more work for me.
That's how it should be.
So tell me what we're doing today for National Sex Day.
Oh, you carry on. Jess is swigging beer. It is 11 o'clock in the morning.
It's a little Diet Coke.
It's in a bottle.
I know. Do you know why? I feel so posh, I can't even lie to you. Is there anything better than having a Coke in a glass bottle? I don't think there is.
Well, I mean, I don't like Coke, so.
Oh, then not for you then.
No.
Oh, well, people listening, they will know an ice cold Coke in a glass bottle, which I know is probably absolutely awful for the environment. I only got them because I got them free. You know, those things where it's like two can dine for £10 and then you have to choose a drink, you know? So we chose the little Diet Cokes in the bottles. That's what we chose for our drink.
So posh.
That's the only reason I have them. I'm not like you with your printer money, just, you know, printing whatever you want, spending it all on printer cards. Not like that with glass Coke bottles. Literally got it as part of a deal.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, today, to tie in with National Sex Day.
Day. Yeah.
I was going to say week then.
Oh, wishful thinking, Sarah.
Oh, obviously. Today we're looking at HIV, sex, orgasm, sex toys and sexual dysfunction. I've broadened it out a bit, Jess.
I love
Trying to cover all the bases.
That sounds perfect to me.
Excellent. Well, we'll start that in a minute. First of all, though, the CCTV wire, the advertising's not gone to plan.
There's nothing on it. I can't see anything on it behind
you. My big head's in the way.
Oh, so there is something on it.
You prepare to be impressed at the amount of time and effort I've put into this. Oh, I'm celebrating our biggest supporters. So look, okay. I don't know if you can see. I might have to hold them up. But you will see that I have put a message to Paraguay at the top.
Okay, so the top message to me looks like it says, I heart. And then it says Papua New Guinea. You've crossed that out and then written Paraguay. Amazing.
And then I didn't have, obviously, printer cartridge is expensive. I haven't been into the office. I was off last week, so not printing pictures at home. I've drawn them, hand-drawn, hand-crafted, if you will, a picture of Sean, our boss.
That is.
And your lovely mum.
And my mother. I love that you just put Jess's mum as well. So Bernice is on there. Look at her little face. Look at Sean. Sarah, I'm very much enjoying this. I think you might start getting people asking you for commissions.
I think without a doubt.
This is absolutely fantastic.
I mean, they are very lifelike. Let's be honest. The resemblance is uncanny.
Now I feel like I'm literally recording a podcast, Sarah, with Sean and my mum. That's how it feels. Mm-hmm. They're so lifelike.
But I'm pretty pleased with my efforts. So you're all welcome.
I think it's fantastic. As ever, you know, promote it on the hashtag crappy CCTV wire is still
not
open.
Crappy. No, just CCTV wire. I'm blocking a little bit of Bernice. There we go.
I'm glad you brought my mother and our boss along for our sex episode.
That is true, actually. I didn't think of that.
They're just staring at me. You've got your back to them. They're just eyeballing me.
Bernice is, well, she's looking very happy that you're contemplating sex later. Well done, Jess.
Yeah. Thanks, Mother. Thank you.
Okay, let's have a look. What are we doing? So we're talking about sex, but as I said, lots of kind of different facets of it, because we just don't talk about sex enough because we live in Britain.
Yeah.
And if you talk about sex over here too much, it'll either drop off or close up. It's not true. Yeah. Yes. So it falls to us, Jess, to bring this into the public domain. So you can look forward to many hours of editing out my guffaws. Guffaw's a good word. Come on.
It's a really good word. I do love a guffaw.
Okay. My new favourite word is chuff.
Why? What, like chuffing?
Like chuff. It's another name for you know, like my cavernous chuff.
Are you joking? For your vagina?
Yes. So someone on Instagram the other day referred to it as their chuff, and I was like, that's amazing.
I've heard about being chuffed.
Because you can call it Chuff the Magic Kraken.
Chuff the Magic Kraken.
You don't know what we're talking about. It's a play on words based on Puff the Magic Dragon, which was released. It was a song released in 1963. I am keeping it relevant.
Nice.
That is like how it's always going to be known now.
Wow. And just again, to keep everyone in the loop, the Kraken is what I have chosen to call my vagina in an act of rebellion against men naming their penises. We decided to name our vaginas. Sarah went with Velma. I went with the Kraken.
Well, there you go. Chuff the Magic Kraken from now on. Always in my head.
Where does it live, though? Chuff the Magic Kraken lives in my pants. Glorious. It's glorious. Okay, here we go. Story did begin, Sarah.
Chuff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea. You grew up by the sea.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I like lives in my pants. Well, it's true.
But it just makes me think of enormous pants. I don't know why.
Oh, well, I don't want to say knickers. Like, that doesn't go. I can't sing Chuff the Magic Kraken lives in my knickers. I feel like we need to move on. I feel like this is too much for everyone. Everyone's just like, no. And if this is the episode that the people at the British Podcast Awards are listening to, then I will be devastated.
This is the winner. It's got to be. Okay, so three areas we're going to talk about. So a little bit about sex, then we're just going to talk a little bit about sex toys, and then we're going to talk about sexual dysfunction.
Perfect.
All in the context of HIV, so there'll be no sex toy recommendations or reviews from me.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine. You made it sound like they were coming from me.
Well, they can do if they want, but I'm very vanilla. We've talked about this before. Maybe we haven't actually recorded a podcast. But anyway, no.
Anyway, let's go.
Right. So I have got, it's like a little quiz, kind of a quiz. Let's put you on the spot, Jess. Come on.
Okay. All right.
So just to remind everybody, and also because sometimes we get asked these questions when we're testing for HIV. So yes or no, Jess, if someone doesn't actually come in you, can you still catch HIV?
Yes. Yeah,
excellent.
You can.
From the pre-cum, they call it, don't they?
Yeah, there's pre-cum. Yeah, it's from, of course you can.
Excellent, good. You only do it once, can you still contract HIV?
Yes, you can.
If it's over really quickly, can you still contract HIV?
Yes, you can. I feel like I'm part of the Barack Obama campaign. Do you know what I mean? Yes, we can.
What if someone doesn't come in you, but they come over you? Can you somehow hoover it up inside you?
No.
I would agree. I concur, Jess.
I hope you're going to cover if someone tries to like come in your eyeball, because I've been asked that kind of thing before. Yeah, at work.
Oh. Not just when you're out socialising.
I haven't been asked, no. Not personally.
Oh, are any positions more risky than others? I've listed doggy and missionary. That's the extent of my knowledge.
No, not positions, but if you are receiving, you are at a higher risk of contracting HIV. That does not mean by any stretch of the imagination that if you are the giver, if you are the putter-inner, that you are at no risk, because that's not what I'm saying.
Excellent. What if you do lots of foreplay but no penetration?
I suppose it depends what the foreplay is.
I've put no, there is no risk. Oh, but then what type of foreplay? No, I'm still going to say low to very to zero.
Oh, yeah, low to zero risk. I was just wondering what the foreplay might be, but then I don't know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, you're right. You're correct. Well done, you.
What if you have a threesome with no protection, but, you know, it's a threesome, so woohoo. Is there a risk of contracting HIV?
I suppose it depends what I'm doing in that threesome.
Why do people like threesomes? It sounds exhausting. Too many limbs, not enough personal space. I am all about the fun in that scenario.
Do you like personal space during sex? Because I imagine that's quite difficult, Sarah.
Yeah. Still not sure how I managed to have two children, if I'm honest.
Yes, so within a threesome, it would depend. So if it's just all foreplay, right, then no. But if you're having penetrative sex, then yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. What if, I mean, I said it's unlikely to be me. What if I go to a party, throw my keys in a bowl, and whoever picks them out, that's how it works, isn't it? Looks extremely fit. Could I contract HIV?
Not just from looking at them, no, Sarah.
Excellent. What if only the tip of the penis goes in? Is there
just
a risk?
Just the tip. Because if they're still pre-cum, then yeah.
What if the woman doesn't orgasm?
Yeah.
If a woman orgasms, does it increase the risk of contracting HIV?
I would assume the risk was the same.
Yeah. So the risk is there anyway because it's unprotected sex. And your moist, mucus-lined body cavities don't care if you orgasm or not. You know, sperm's heading that way anyway.
Yeah.
But don't be thinking, as I've heard before, I didn't orgasm, so the risk is less. It's still unprotected sex.
Yeah, definitely not.
Last one. What about if the man pulls out?
Yeah, of course. Because they're still pre-cum.
So there you go. If you have unprotected penetrative sex, and by penetrative, it doesn't matter if it's just the tippy tip or the whole thing, it's unprotected, you're at risk of contracting HIV.
Oh, I love that. Just the tippy tip or the whole salami. It's a good job I'm not childish, isn't it? Perfect person to do this episode with.
Thinking, well, it's fine, I won't have penetrative sex, we'll use sex toys instead. Great, go for it. But remember, we've talked about this before, haven't we, about the need to keep those sex toys clean.
Yeah.
So non-insertive sex toys is not so much of an issue. So been reading up on this, Jess. So nipple clamps, sex swings, handcuffs.
Yeah, they're all fine, aren't they? Yeah, non-invasive.
Just checking if there's anything else I've missed out that I've, you know, got here.
Looking around your room.
Yeah.
Looking around your sex dungeon.
Whips, they're okay. Yep.
Cages to keep your husband clearly very, very far away from you while you ensure there's personal space. COVID must have been a dream for you. You're like 2 metres away.
Ah, if I haven't said it before, he is a lucky man. They're less likely to have bodily fluids on them, but if they do, just give them a clean. So the seat of that, you know, sex swing, probably do with a clean anyway. Yeah. I'm sure people do clean these things, don't they?
How often do you clean your sex swing?
I just include it in my weekly household clean.
Yeah, of course. Just one of the chores, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So just once
a week,
get
the kids
then.
To do it. I'll pay the kids to do that sort of thing.
You pay your children to clean,
my sex swing.
I feel like we should edit this out.
It's the sort of thing you see in the Daily Star, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Right. Insertive sex toys. So vibrators, dildos, butt plugs. I probably missed out some, but those are the ones I know about. You ideally use them with a condom, or you clean them afterwards, especially if you're using them in a group environment. So don't just, you know, use it and then pass it on to the next person. None of that malarkey. No.
But that's why it's so much easier, I think, to use condoms with things like vibrators and dildos and even butt plugs, really, because, you know, you take the condom off afterwards. Perfect. You know, it's clean.
Well, it's just less of a faff, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're having, you want to be the owner at a sex party when you're like, can everyone just hold on, guys? Can I just clean all of this and then we'll go again?
Yeah, exactly. And that's just not going to happen, is it? We talked about this before. Heat of the moment, all of that jazz, just not going to happen.
No, that's true. Now, when we say to clean them, I don't think we've talked about this before. Just soap and water is absolutely fine. You know, no hazmat suits, no vats of bleach or anything like that. Or you can buy specialist sex toy cleaner if you want to. Cleaner, okay. As in a cleaner product, not a cleaner person that comes in and does it.
Imagine, I've just ordered myself a sex toy cleaner.
Yes.
Okay, so sex toy cleaner, yes, I'm with you. Not a person, a thing.
Say that again, because I sniffed all over you.
Oh, sorry. I was saying, so sex toy cleaner is a thing, not a person.
Yes, a product, not an actual, there's no job. But maybe we should think about setting that up.
I mean, I will take the bookings and you can go out and do the job.
Yeah, I don't.
Regretting it now, aren't you? I can see it in your face, regretting that suggestion.
It goes against that, our whole kind of ethos of, you know, your manual, I'm strategy.
Oh, I thought you I thought you were going to say it goes against our ethos of empowering other people.
No, no. Goes against the ethos where you're the little one that does everything and I am just the boss.
Oh, do you know what? We are recruiting at the moment to replace Lauren. Maybe we'll just add this to their job description.
I love it. Yeah, you're interviewing tomorrow, aren't you? So let me know how people feel about that.
I'll let you know how that goes down. Okay, now we're not just talking about sex and making each other laugh. We also need to talk about sexual dysfunction. Do you know, I don't think that is discussed enough. And it can affect people with HIV, or it can affect anyone, not just people with HIV. But there are psychological reasons why sex can be more difficult after you've contracted HIV.
Really?
That could, yeah. Well, think about it. It could be because of the way you contracted it. There could be fears around passing on the virus, or you're just not feeling sexy anymore.
If anything, I think there's definitely the possibility there that it could affect your sex life in the way, like you're saying, that you're no longer just letting go and enjoying because you're anxious yourself.
Yeah.
But with you equals you, you know, people don't need to be anxious.
No, they don't. Absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of well publicised that, you know, you equals you, you can't pass the virus on. But I still think the mindset for some people is that you almost either you can't lead yourself to believe that that's true.
I mean, it's another element of HIV stigma, right? Where for decades, people have been told you need to be extra careful and, you know, you definitely can't have any kind of unprotected sex. And now everything's changed with you equals you and you definitely can. But I still don't underestimate how hard it is to get those messages that have been sort of drilled into you out of your head now. You know, that's difficult.
Yeah. And it can include lots of different problems. So problems with sexual desire, problems with arousal, problems achieving an orgasm, or painful sex. So I think everyone assumes when it comes to sexual dysfunction, it's just that you can't get an erection. No. It's way, way more than all of that. And also, you know, medication can be a factor. So if you've been diagnosed with HIV and not feeling great about yourself, and then you are prescribed antidepressants, for example, to kind of help get you through this, that can have an effect on your desire to have sex as well.
Yeah.
So it's quite, it is complex. Everything's complex, isn't it? It's if you're not used to, if you've had a very active sex life and now you've gone to not having sex at all, that in itself can be problematic.
Oh, completely. Yeah. For some people sex is an essential part of most people's lives. Obviously, it holds more importance for some people than others. We're all different and we all have, you know, different libido levels and things like that. But yes, if you are somebody where that has been a real integral part of your life, trying to navigate through that would be really challenging.
Yeah. And you mentioned it, stigma. I think stigma and those kind of underlying feelings of shame. I mean, very few people are going to feel sexy when they feel ashamed.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't do. I think stigma plays a huge part in people just not feeling sexy anymore. Yeah. And it shouldn't do, but it does. So if you're experiencing this and you're single, most people just abstain for a while. And that's fine. That's what you want to do. But it doesn't suit everyone. And as we've said, if you've gone from having very regular sex to no sex, that can be challenging in itself. If you're with a partner and the level of intimacy decreases because of sexual dysfunction, that's a challenge as well, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, you've got feelings of perhaps letting them down, or perhaps you're having sex with them still because you feel you ought to, even though you don't really want to. Again, lots of kind of complex feelings going on there.
Many, many layers to this, aren't there?
Yeah, there really are. So what to do?
Exactly. This is what I was going to ask, Sarah. And for once, I hope you're so proud of me. I did not butt in and go, what can people do, Sarah? I waited because I thought she will have this covered.
Okay. I mean, it's not an easy thing to talk about. I get that. But the best way to get help is to either talk to your GP or your HIV consultant, because they can ensure that there's no underlying health causes and signpost you to organisations that can help you work through the psychological aspects that may be contributing to this. And if you're listening, oh, see, sniffles all the way through this, if you're listening to like this, to what we're discussing, and you're thinking, oh, actually, yeah, this does affect me, then please be reassured it's actually way more common than you think. People don't talk about it. People talk about this less than even talking about HIV. So don't think, well, I can't raise it with my GP or my consultant. They've dealt with this before. I can absolutely guarantee it.
And I would like to add at this juncture, I think also when we use the term sexual dysfunction, I think our natural mindset falls to it being men or, you know, someone that has a penis. And I think as women, we need to acknowledge that there's sexual dysfunction in women as well. You know, perhaps you're drier than normal, and so that's making sex painful. We know that that can happen for a ton of different reasons. And the same as you were saying with shame or psychological problems, there are lots and lots of different reasons. It might be painful. Please do go and speak to your GP, because I think that's the thing, isn't it? We say sexual dysfunction, and so many, I think, of the adverts and everything on that we see on TV, everything's geared at it, you know, this is the only falls at men's door. And it's like, no, this falls at everybody's door. Yeah, as Sarah said, please do go and speak to somebody. And, you know, I know there's that part of you that feels a bit embarrassed about talking about it, but that is the minutest part of when you then feel relieved that you're being listened to and you're getting help. And then you can, you know, hopefully solve your issues and move on to have a lovely, healthy sex life like you want, how it looks, how you would like it to look, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing, isn't it? Is it's about what you deserve. It should be part of self-care the same as everything else is. If that aspect of your life isn't going the way you want it to, you deserve better.
Yeah.
And it can make it better as well. You have to, yes, take that initial step to speak to someone about it, but do it because you deserve it.
Yeah. And you know, don't be afraid to speak to your partner as well. I think some people are also quite scared to open up to their partner and just say, look, can we just pump the brakes on this for a minute just while I go and, you know, go and seek some support and get some help around this. I think we tend to think that if we say that, then we'll be really heavily judged, or our partner will think it's about them. Well, you know, it's often not at all. So,
and you're right, it does affect everyone, whether you have a penis or a vagina. Sexual dysfunction can be an issue. We talked about women. We should mention that the menopause. So women living with HIV may experience a slightly earlier menopause, and that can affect, as you said, how lubricated the vagina is. And I mean, you can use lube and things like that. But again, it's not something we talk about very often. So as women are going through menopause, yes. It's again, speak to your HIV consultant or your GP if it's just sex isn't the way that it was prior to the menopause. God, that was convoluted, wasn't it?
No, I'm with you.
What's going on? It's because I think I'm going to sneeze again.
It's hay fever season, Sarah.
I know. And all the pollen seems to have gathered right by my window. It's outrageous. Another thing for those of us with a vagina, pain during sex. This might not be related to HIV at all, but again, get it checked out.
Yeah.
By your GP, because there are lots of reasons why that could be happening. And lots of them are really easy to address, but you need to determine whether it's physical or psychological. If you have a penis, problems with ejaculation. Again, it's all encompassed in sexual dysfunction, isn't it? Ejaculating too quickly, taking too long, not ejaculating at all. We've talked about condoms before, haven't we, that delay ejaculation.
Yeah.
Which you could use. And there are other techniques you can use as well to stop ejaculating quickly. There is help if it's not happening at the speed it would normally do, or if it's not happening at all. And again, it's your GP, it's your HIV consultant that can help. And there are specific clinics as well that you can be referred to. So all is not lost. I think some people just kind of think, oh, I just need to live with this. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I would agree. I think people just go, well, this is it. This is my lot. So I will just, well, it's like any sort of health ailment, isn't it? Quite often we just, oh, we'll live with that pain and we'll live with this issue. And it's like, no, it shouldn't be that way.
Mm. The other thing for anyone with a penis is low testosterone. And it can be difficult to diagnose because the symptoms, low sexual desire, loss of muscle mass, that kind of thing, are quite generic and can apply to lots of different issues. But they can occur in HIV-positive people who have normal testosterone levels, and it can be the cause of erectile dysfunction.
Seriously? I did not realise that at all.
No, I didn't know either. But when we're saying about is it physical or is it psychological, if you have low testosterone, testosterone replacement treatment can help. You know, it can restore sexual desire, improve erection quality. Have you ever used that?
Love that. Erection quality. That was a quality erection.
We don't use that term enough. Oh, I don't even know where I'm going with this now. Anyway, there are medications that are helpful if you're experiencing erectile dysfunction.
That, honestly, that's so good to know, though, because obviously some of our clients do come and speak to us about issues they may be having around their sex lives. So, I had no idea that that could be the case.
Mm. And I think it's also important, I've got some stats here to back up what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So many people struggle with erectile dysfunction, especially as they get older, but it's more common in people with HIV than in the general population. So research suggests that around 40 to 60% of men with HIV may experience some degree of erectile dysfunction. Don't read too much into that because I don't have detailed analysis. So I don't know if it was just after they got diagnosed or when they grew older.
Right.
But the research that we've got, and we always cite our source underneath the episode, suggests that it is more common in men with HIV.
That's good information to know. That's good to be aware of.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we need to kind of keep it in perspective, don't we? Because it's also more commonly associated with other conditions, you know, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, obesity, heart disease. So it isn't just HIV. They're not being singled out for this at all. Certain long-term conditions, and HIV is included in that, could lead it being more likely that you have erectile dysfunction.
Right, I'm with you.
But it could also just be because, you know, it's something that occurs as you get older and more people with HIV are living into old age. Now, there is, as we know, medication to treat it. Viagra is one of them. I've seen another one advertised recently. I don't know what that was called.
Is it a form of Viagra, this other one?
I'm not sure. You know, when it's just on in the background, the really cheesy advert where there's a man and a woman, they get to the door of the bedroom and then it's just like quite rousing.
I think I know which one you mean, but you can access it so much more easily now, can't you, from places like Superdrug and pharmacies. I'm not just plugging Superdrug, you know, lots of different places.
Yeah, you do love Superdrug. You've mentioned them a few times.
Have I? I'm not gonna lie, I do love Superdrug.
Do you
love Superdrug?
Not really.
Oh, for their makeup sections are amazing.
What, better than Boots?
Look, why are you making me do this? If there was a Boots and a Superdrug next to each other, I'd go to Superdrug.
It's Boots.
I like Boots, don't get me wrong, but I just love Superdrug. I honestly, where I live, Superdrug opened and I was just ecstatic. Shut now. Gone. But yeah, I was so happy when it opened. Maybe it's from my childhood. It's like everything was cheaper, wasn't it? It was like the fun place to go and buy like fake tan and stuff.
No, well, no, see, I don't think we had a Superdrug. I think it was just Boots. And I worked there on a Saturday, so, you know, I'm obviously still loyal to them.
Aren't you? Okay, proceed.
Anyway, back to Viagra. So Viagra works by increasing blood flow to the penis, and that makes it more sensitive to touch, but it doesn't increase sexual desire. So if you're not wanting to do it in the first place, there's not much point taking Viagra. And if you're HIV positive, then bear in mind that taking medication for erectile dysfunction can interfere with your HIV meds. One of them, the only one I can pronounce, ritonavir, but there's another one. Oh, I should have looked how to pronounce this. I've not even heard of it.
Go on.
Cabikistat. I don't even know if that's still in circulation. But anyway, there are some HIV medications that can increase the effects of any erectile dysfunction medication. I mean, and you don't want to be doing that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But there are also HIV meds that can decrease the effect as well. So if you are thinking this is the route that you want to go down, please talk to your HIV consultant.
Perfect. Perfect way to move forward. Yeah. And we'd say your HIV consultant over your GP, because obviously your GP is a general practitioner. You know, they're not going to have that specialist knowledge, are they? Well, more likely they're not. You might have somebody who's, you know, very specialised in HIV. But yeah, do speak to your clinic.
Yeah. And again, it's not singling people out because they've got HIV. Certain antibiotics, antifungal medications can also affect the use of Viagra. So it's just common sense just to check before you start using it that there's no kind of side effects, or the side effects will be enhanced because of other medication that you're taking.
Mm.
And the other thing you shouldn't use is poppers, the recreational drug. Don't use poppers if you're using any erectile dysfunction medication, because it can result in a potentially fatal drop in blood pressure. I think is everything for today. Everything you need to know. Is it everything about sex toys, HIV and sexual dysfunction? Probably not everything.
No, I think we can agree it's not everything. But like all of our episodes, Sarah, we promise one thing, but we just under-deliver quite wildly. But I like that about us.
That we constantly under-deliver.
Yeah, we never get to the end. We never find conclusions about things. But to be fair, well done on this episode, because I've genuinely learned so much stuff that will help when we're supporting clients, haven't you?
Oh, definitely. Yes. And they are quite open with us, actually, aren't they? I mean, I've definitely been asked questions around erectile dysfunction before. Oh, sorry, the cat just fell off the windowsill.
Also, you know, we do have clients that also use poppers. So it's, you know, really good to know that information. We don't want anyone, you know, having any kind of interaction with a drug that could be fatal. Absolutely not. So we'll share that information around for sure. Well done you, Sarah. Do you think Sean and Bernie were behind you, their pictures, do you think they'll have enjoyed it as much?
Oh, absolutely.
Their smiles tell me they did. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they definitely did.
Yeah, I feel like actually that was just a little useful lesson for me, if no one else.
Oh, and me, yes. And I always, we said no one ever talks about this. So if nothing else, we can perhaps get a couple of conversations started.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have any questions that you'd like us to look into or answer for you or have a look at, just message us. Message us on Instagram. That's where we tend to pick most stuff up. Or there's a contact form through our link on our Instagram bio. You can send it through that. So yeah, please do get in touch. Like Sarah said, we want people to talk about this. We don't want people to feel ashamed. And, you know, that's why we are so open about talking, as you'll have heard, about our own vaginas. We're sort of taught that we shouldn't be talking about these things, that it's a bit shameful and, you know, they're all very private. I'm not saying like go out into the street and start shouting about your sex life, but I do think people, it would be good if we could all chat a bit more openly about it.
I agree.
That's the end of my soapbox speech.
Excellent. Well done. Nicely said.
Isn't that? Say ASMR, that is. Can you hear that? Happy National Sex Day.
Thanks for listening to the HIV podcast. If you enjoyed our podcast, please like, rate and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You can now also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the HIV podcast for behind the scenes insights and video. The HIV podcast is produced by Thames Valley Positive Support.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.